You know, I just got the sense right off the bat that there's people who are going to be here tonight who have a lot of worries going on in their life, who are just worrying about stuff and just fears and different things going on, not sure what direction to take, not sure where to go, not sure those kinds of things. And you guys know that worrying and fear can just take us down paths that are, it's just not a good deal, right? So one of the things that I'm just going to kind of keep on going here with what I felt like God wants to talk about, but Matthew 6, 25 through 34, you're welcome to follow along if you like. This is Jesus talking. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to its stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field as they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'Shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you will need all these things. But the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." So I just get a sense that there's some people that are just struggling in their lives with just some worrying, just seeing the mountain in front of their lives and curious, how am I going to get over that mountain? How is it that I'm going to reach the summit? And so I just really felt like the Spirit of God spoke to me for tonight that, you know, one of the things that I want to encourage us in is our perspective. What are we looking at? Because it's important to know what you're looking at, right? I'll expand on that a little bit. When it comes to our mountain, how many of you guys know that our mountain that we're facing, whatever those mountains are in front of you, and it's different for every person in this room, and I don't even know most of your mountains, but that mountain can look pretty big, right? You guys ever been to Seattle when it doesn't rain? I know that's a tough one to even say that, but you've got Mount Rainier, and they're on sea level, right? And then you've got this huge mountain, one of the largest mountains in the United States, right there. So it's huge. It just absolutely looks ginormous. And how many of you guys know that when you stare at it, you can't get rid of it after that, right? Unless the clouds are covering it, all you see is the mountain when you're in Seattle. Because everywhere you look, everywhere you turn around, there's your mountain. And for us, sometimes that mountain's just staring us in the face, as big as Mount Rainier, right? And we can't get our eyes off of it because how am I going to get up that thing? How am I going to cross over this thing? And for me, I just feel like there's a couple of things that can really help us with that. I want to encourage us tonight to change our perspective. Let's change what we're looking at. I think that's honestly part of the key to getting over the mountain is to stop looking at the mountain, okay? So you might say, well, if you're going to climb the mountain, don't you have to look at the mountain? I get it, but I think it's important as well to recognize sometimes in our lives that we've also climbed 1,000 other peaks, okay? I'll pause for 2 seconds for you to just think about that. Sometimes we look at the peak that we're looking at and we're going, man, this problem is going to be big. This problem is huge. How am I going to get over this thing? And we stop to think about our experience in life that we've already climbed 1,000 other mountains with Christ's help, and we can do it. Amen? We can get over that mountain. I think of the example of the Israelites, okay? So the Israelites, they escaped from Egypt, right? They were in slavery. They'd been through a lot of junk in their life, all these different things, and God delivers them. And along the way, he delivers them through all of these different obstacles and all these different situations and circumstances. And now they're sitting in the wilderness. And what do they begin to do? Well, God's providing for them. Even in that scenario, he's giving them food. He's clothing them. He's helping them. He's giving them everything that they need. And what do they begin to do? They begin to look at their circumstance and their situation and their mountain, if you will, right? And begin to say, man, this sucks. This is awful. I don't want to be here, right? And instead of remembering where they came from, they begin to look at their mountain and they begin to complain and they begin to see the things that are in front of them as this huge deal and this huge problem and this huge situation. And what God is trying to tell them is, hey, I want to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. It's right over there, right? So go take it. And what do they begin to do? They begin to see more mountains in front of them. They begin to see how big the giants are, and they begin to see how bad this is going to be and how tough it's going to be. And then there's a couple of people involved, right, who change their perspective. Just a little bit of a difference. They see the same thing. The mountain might look exactly the same. Yeah, there's giants there. But what do? They change the way that they look at it, and they change their perspective on life. So I just want to encourage us today, let's change our perspective. And I just want to talk a little bit about what that means for us. What does that mean to be able to see the mountain, but to be able to look at it in a different way, okay? After all the things that they've been through, I would like to say I'd be one of the Israelites. I would be the Caleb, okay, or the Joshua that would be the guy that would look at it and not complain and have the right outlook. But let's be honest, every one of us in life would probably be that the other guy, right, that would see the problem in the situation. And we'd like to say we would be one of those two guys that would have a good outlook on it. But man, when that mountain's staring you in the face, it's tough to have that outlook, right? When that problem, I don't want to in any way make you feel like I'm demeaning your problem, right? Sometimes you can hear someone in a sermon, it's like, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. And I totally get that. But you know what? God does, right? And so I just want to encourage you guys in this today that when we put our trust in God, all things are possible through him. Amen? And I just want to encourage us today that when it comes to these things, God has delivered you how many times in your life? And I just think about this situation with the Israelites, and we watched the movie Exodus a couple of weeks ago, and however unbiblical it might be, for those of you who have seen it, I get it. Still a well-done movie and a good story and everything, so don't take it biblical or whatever. But man, I just think through the process of what they went through and what God delivered them from, and then they could still complain, right? And I begin to think about it in my own life and how God's delivered me from this and that and all of these different things and all of these problems and scenarios and all these mountains. And how many times can I still look at the mountain that's in front of me that might be this little molehill, that might be this little anthill in front of me that I see as a mountain, and I still just start complaining? How am I going to make it over this thing? How am I going to do this thing, right? And I really believe that God wants you to hear tonight that, man, you've made it over 1,000 other mountains. That mountain's going to be nothing for you. You've made it over all of the mountains, all of these different huge, ginormous mountains, and you're asking me, what? Can we make it over this thing? Are you looking at this mountain? Because this mountain's a tiny little mountain, right? But so many times, the mountain is all we see. Okay, I'm going to move on. So I want to talk tonight about thankfulness and living a life of thankfulness. Because I think living a life of gratefulness and living a life of thankfulness is what changes our perspective from where, I'll say it this way, changes our perspective from what we're looking at to what God has already done and where he wants to take us. And so many times we miss that. We miss it because we live in a culture that we want more, right? That there's always something else, that the grass is always greener on the other side, that there's always something better. And so we lose contentment. And that's part of the thing that sows into this effect of worry, that sows into this effect of needing, and sows in this effect of never having enough and always needing more. And so for me, I just want to encourage us that we need to get from the spot of worrying and get to the spot of where we're thankful where we are. Does that make sense to everyone? So easy to see the mountain that's in front of us and worry about it rather than think about the other 100 peaks that we've already been over and that we've got this thing. We know how to climb a mountain. Amen? Okay, there you go. I like it. So when a problem comes up in life, what is our foundation? What do we go to? What's the instant spot that we go to? And I'll just tell you this. I've used probably this same exact scripture as an example a million times in my own life, but it's because I love David. David's got a million stories throughout the Bible, maybe an exaggeration, but he has a ton of stories that I look to and I just go, man, Wow, that was rough. But God delivered him, right? And one of my favorite stories in the Bible that I use a lot is the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it's the story of he goes off, and this is just going to be my little simple way of saying it, but he goes off with the army, and they come back to the village, and the Amalekites have taken everything. Okay, they've taken their spouses, they've taken their children, they've taken all of their goods and all of their stuff. They come back, and everything is gone. Now, he's their leader, so his army looks at him and says, "You've done this to us, right? What kind of leader are you that we come back and our wives and our children are all gone and we want to kill you, right? We're going to stone you now." And it says basically in the Word of God that they were all in despair and that they were all just at this spot. Could you imagine? Okay, so I'm not demeaning your problem, but I'll say I've never had my wife and kids and everything I've ever owned taken away from me, right? So I can look at a scenario like this and I can go, okay, no matter what I've gone through, that's bad, right? And that's one of the things I love about the Word of God. We can see situations in the Word of God and where God's delivered them from these things. And we can go, wow, if he's done it for them, he could do it for me, right? And so David, I'll just read it for you here. In 1 Samuel 36, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed," could only imagine, right? "For the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord." One of the things that I love about David is that through all of the problems and all the circumstances and through all the people who tried to kill him and through all the different things that happened in his life, he was very quickly able to go from a spot that said, "Oh God," if you will, "what's going to happen here," to, "but God." Right? And Pestilin's used that example before of having, I'll just say it that way, having a big but, right? The big but in our life is, "but God," right? "But he will deliver me," right? Now, David, one of the things I love about him in this scripture is, "but he strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Now, what does that mean for us? So, one of the big popular things in culture today when it comes to counseling is we look ourselves in the mirror and we tell ourselves how good we look and we tell ourselves about how awesome we are. And we, you know, that it's just one of those things, you know, we build our self pride and we build all those kinds of things. And I say, you know what? I get it. But David didn't do that. David didn't go and look himself in the mirror and say, "Man, you're cool. You're awesome. You can get him through this." What did he do? He went to his foundation, to what he knew was right. And he strengthened himself in the Lord. So for us, we don't go look ourselves in the mirror and try to just prop ourselves up on our own because for us, who are we, right? Without God, we're nothing. And so I'm not saying that to chop your legs off, but what I'm saying is many people I think in this room tonight find themselves trying to get through life on their own and in their own strength with their own stuff. And you guys know that you have the God of the universe on your side. Let's stop trying to do it on our own. Let's lean on the one who has every single need already met in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? So for me, this is a great scripture that says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He went and he said, "You know what? No, self, I can do all things." Obviously, this is a little bit earlier than this scripture, but "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," right? That's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking ourselves in the mirror and changing our perspective from what's happening. My wife is gone. My kids are gone. All of these things have happened to me and people want to kill me, to God. God knows what to do. I'm going to turn to him, right? Turn our focus on him. And so David quickly changed his perspective from what he was looking at, from what was happening, to God. When we begin to focus on God, our perspective changes. And I know this is a very simple thing, but this is just something I really feel like we need to be encouraged in this room tonight. So I'm going to encourage us. What are we looking at? What are we looking at? Are we looking at that mountain that's in front of us? Or are we looking at what God is seeing? Pastor Lynn used to say a lot, and I love this statement. He used to say basically like this, that if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you'd move it. I love that statement. What are we looking at? Are we looking at the mountain and the problem and the situation? Are we looking at where God wants to take us? Because many times in life, we can get stuck at that mountain. We can get stuck at that problem. We can get stuck at whatever the situation we're in. And that's all we're focused on and all we're looking at. And God's going, man, I've got great things for you. On the other side of that mountain, you're going to do amazing things. There's a land flowing in milk and honey for you, right? But all we can see is this mountain. And I just want to encourage us, let's turn our eyes, let's change our focus on what God has. When we put our focus on the incredible, amazing character of God, his faithfulness, what he's done in our life, right? Our problems begin to seem smaller, right? For us, I know there's people in this room that are going through all kinds of stuff, all kinds of circumstances, and I don't, again, want to make those things seem small, but to God, they are. To God, those problems are nothing, right? To God, those problems are like the anthill. So we're focused on this mountain, and this mountain is huge in front of our eyes. But to God, it's a bottle of water, right? Does that make sense to you? If all we're seeing and all we're focused on is this huge mountain that's up in front of us, and God's saying, no, change your perspective. Look from up here. Look at what I'm looking at. That thing's nothing because I've already got you, right? We've already won this battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, right? What are you looking at? We begin to recognize that nothing is too big for God. Paul uses an example in his life of being joyful in every trial. Sometimes that scripture frustrates me, I'm going to be honest with you, right? When you're going through a trial, the last thing you want to hear sometimes is, oh, but just think, you're going to be able to use this someday to help someone, right? When you're going through a big problem, I say that to people all the time. But when I've gone through problems and I've heard that in my life, the last thing that I want to hear is, oh, but buddy, this is going to be great because in 6 months from now, you're going to be able to minister to someone else who's going through the exact same thing. You don't want to hear that, right? But Paul's saying, man, be joyful when you're going through problems. Be happy when you're going through problems because God's got something great for you. Now, what does that mean? What is that? What is he really saying in that? What he's saying is, let's change our perspective. Let's change what we're looking at. He's not saying, let's look at this problem, that the problem's a good thing, right? He's saying, when you get on the other side of this thing, just imagine what you're going to be able to accomplish. When you get on the other side of this thing, guess what? You're going to have experienced, basically what he continues on saying is, you're going to have experienced the grace of God in ways that you never imagined experienced the grace of God before. And so just by simply changing the way we're looking at it, we're not acting like the problem's not there like some people would, right? We're not saying, oh man, if I don't look at it, then it's just going to go away. No, the problem's there. Okay, let's be honest. The problem's there. But how are we looking at it? Because when we look at it from God's perspective, he sees it completely different than us. So how do we do that? Man, we turn our eyes onto him, right? If we try to be joyful in the trial on our own, how many of you guys know it's not going to work? Right? If you're just trying to be joyful in this situation that, oh man, this situation is going to be absolutely terrible, but I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. Here we go. Let's go. Probably not going to work out so well. But when we do it with the joy of the Lord, what does the Bible say? It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. So what does that even mean? What does the joy of the Lord is our strength even mean, right? Man, I'm going through all these problems, and all I have to just say is the words, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and all of a sudden it's like this magical wand that I've waved, and all of a sudden I'm joyful. No, the joy comes because we recognize where joy comes from, if you will. We recognize who we have our strength in. You're not going to be able to make it on your own. You can't climb that mountain without him, right? But when you look at the mountain with his vision and with his eyes and with his ability, guess what? It does become something where you can do it with joy because it's his strength that's helping you to do it. Does that make sense to everyone? So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sometimes we can just think of that as, okay, yeah, well, cool. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What does that even mean? I encourage us to look at it from the perspective that we're changing the way we're looking at things. We're changing it that it's his strength that's going to help me through this. That's what Paul was saying, that when you're going through a problem, when you're going through all these situations, you're going to see the grace of God in your life come through. And grace happens when? When we don't have the ability to do anything. Does that make sense to everyone? That when we come to a spot in our life that says, man, this problem is going to take me out, that's when we have to lean on the grace of God. And he can help you through it, right? So for us, It's the hope we have in him that we can rejoice in the stuff, in the problem, in the situation, right? When David's family had been taken away and the army wanted to kill him, he didn't strengthen himself in himself, right? He strengthened himself in the Lord, right? You might not be happy, but guess what? You can be joyful. You guys hear Pastor Lynn's sermon a couple months ago about joy? That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about you might not be happy in the situation. You might look at the situation and you don't get a smile from the situation, but you can be joyful knowing that on the other side of this is great things. On the other side of this, God's going to help me. On the other side of this, God's going to bring me through this thing and I'm going to be stronger and I will be able to help someone, right? So we change our perspective. That's what joy does, right? Joy doesn't come from our situation. It doesn't come from how good things are going, right? We don't get our joy from that. Joy comes from knowing who we put our trust in. Joy comes from knowing where our strength is coming from. Joy comes from having a perspective, I'll say it this way, that's different than our own. When we have a perspective that's different than our own, we can have joy, right? Okay, joy comes from changing our perspective from our situation to God. The problem that the Israelites had is that they kept turning their vision and their perspective back to the stuff, back to the problems, back to the situations, rather than recognizing, my goodness, you walked through a sea on dry land. Pretty unbelievable, right? You saw how many miracles take place against Egypt, and you're saying that God can't deliver you from this wilderness, or that God can't do something about a giant, right? But they began to look at those things rather than recognize from God's perspective what had happened, right? God wants to take us from the wilderness to the land that flows with milk and honey, right? One of the things that we have to understand is we have to understand the God that we serve. If we don't understand the God that we serve, then we're just going to keep on thinking that he's out to get us. And I really do think that for some people, man, maybe that's the change in perspective that you need to have. You serve a God who loves you. And we can read the Old Testament and you can think that God's this big bully of a God or whatever, if you want to think that way. But man, when I read this story about the Israelites, God delivered them to a spot to where he wanted them to go into this land flowing with milk and honey, right? Whose fault was it that they were stuck there for 40 years? It's their own fault, right? But so many times in our own life, we begin to point fingers at God like, man, well, God's made me, I've got to sit here for 40 years now and I got to struggle in this thing. And it's like, no, guess what? God wants you to be in that land over there. So let's change our perspective from God wants you to be in the land for 40 years, you know, and to suffer, to the concept that God, no, God wants to take you. Does this make sense to anyone? It's making sense to me. So hopefully it's coming out well in my tired mind here. But God wants to take you out of your wilderness and he wants to take you to that promised land, right? But what do we have to do? We have to change our perspective from all of the bad stuff that's coming to us that God can do this. God can deliver me again because he's already delivered me all these other times. God can do this again. That giant that's in front of me, nothing to God because he took out Egypt, right? He took out all these people who wanted to kill me. He can do it again. Amen? Does it make sense, everyone? We're going to keep on moving on here. I want to encourage us tonight. Let's change our perspective. In Ephesians chapter 1, one of my favorite sections of scripture as well, Paul is talking about, over the church of Ephesus, he's talking about this prayer that he prays for them. He says, I pray that your eyes would be enlightened. I pray that you'd be able to see clearly is basically what he's saying. That he'd be able to see with God's perspective, if you want to look at it from that perspective. He's saying that, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. What does that mean? Paul says, man, you're seeing it one way, but God sees it a total different way, right? And we might be seeing this mountain in front of us and this thing in front of us, and how are we going to get over it? But again, let's change our perspective from this idea that here's what I'm seeing to here's what God's seeing. What does the Bible say? That we should walk by faith and not by sight, right? There's the next deal right there. So we're seeing something, but it's not real. It's not there, if you will. It's not some mental thing like, well, if I just don't see it, then I won't believe it. No, what the Bible is saying is if we could see it from God's perspective, it's going to change the way we look at it. Amen? So what do we have to do that? I honestly believe that part of what we have to do that is we have to live a life of thankfulness. Okay? I honestly believe this, that if we could live a life that when a problem comes up in our life, we quickly go to thanking God, our lives would change. I got to get better at that. I'm not up here telling you, man, I'm perfect at this and this is going to be so great. I'm a pessimistic person and I know that right off the bat. So when I see a problem, I begin to logically try to figure out how am I going to get through this. And I usually get myself into junk just because of that, right? So in my life, this is something I'm working on. When I see a problem, I want to quickly get myself to a spot that rather than seeing the problem, I want to be like David, that maybe you read through the Psalms and you see the problems that he's gone through. What does he always do in the Psalms? He starts off with, oh God, all these people are out to get me. These people want to kill me. You know, the world is out to just, but God, I know whom I, right? That's where he instantly goes. And I want to quickly be able to get to that spot that says, but God, you've delivered me before. But God, I'm so thankful for who you are in my life. I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. I'm so thankful for your mercy. I'm so thankful for your goodness. I want to quickly be able to get to that spot that rather than looking at my problem and my situation, which is true, okay, we're here, we see it, where am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Am I going to keep looking at it? Am I going to let that conquer me? No. What am I going to do? I'm going to turn to thankfulness. And I believe that if we could do that in our lives, I'll just give you some homework this week, okay? When you go into your lives and you have a problem or a situation or someone frustrates you or whatever it is, let's quickly go to the fact that God is good and faithful in our life. And if we could change our focus from what's happening, from maybe it's a goofy situation like the line that you're in is way too long and you're getting frustrated with it, to, man, I can be thankful right now that I can stand up, that I can wait, that God's given me, you know what I mean? That we can quickly go there in our minds. And living life from the perspective of thankfulness is going to get us through things every single time. I'll say it that way, right? If you live with the perspective that this thing is going to take me out, guess what? It's probably going to take you out. But if we can live with the perspective of, man, God, you've delivered me all those other times. I'm just so thankful that you're in my life. And I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. And you're going to do it again. I know you are. So God, here we go. Let's do this thing together. And I'm going to encourage myself in you. Because it's nothing that I can do. I can't take out that giant on my own. But I've seen you do it 1,000 times. So let's do it. What do you want me to do? What's my part to play in this? Does that make sense to everyone? I just encourage us. Let's change our perspective from, man, this problem looks so bad. This situation is so awful. To, but God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalms, one of my favorite psalms, Psalms 100:1-5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not of ourselves. Man, thank God, huh? In that one, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures for all generations. For me, I just read that and I get joyful, right? Man, he's so good and faithful and his mercy is amazing and he's faithful and I've already said that, and he's ever over faithful, right? Let's be thankful in that. That when we begin to read scriptures like that, man, that gets our perspective off of this situation that's happening to, but God, you're so good. Man, you're so good. Think about the things that God has done in your life. Amen. I read that scripture and I see, we are his people and the sheep of his pastures. You guys know, when it comes to sheep can be pretty dumb, right? So I can totally put myself in that category of sheep. I get it. I can wander off and realize that the shepherd is calling my name and wants me home, right? But I recognize as well that when we can see God from this perspective, that man, he loves us so much. And he wants to see you successful. He wants to see you come through in this situation more than you want to see yourself come through in this situation. And he already has the needs met to be able to accomplish that. So turning our mind from, let me just even say it this way. That joyful noise, making a joyful noise, sometimes I think can be one of the hardest things to do when you're in a situation. The last thing you want to do is be like, man, let's make a joyful noise right now. This is awful, right? That's the last thing that you want to do. But guess what? It could be one of the best things in the entire world that could absolutely change your life. I'm going to say this, and we're going to go here for just a second. Can we just make a joyful noise to the Lord for a second? I really do just feel like this could set someone free tonight. Can we just do that for a second? Can we just make a joyful noise? God, we love you. You're so good. We just rejoice in who you are tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. You know, I really honestly just believe that sometimes we can get so caught up in our situation and our circumstance and the things that's going on in our life right now that our emotions take over. Right? That it's just us. We take over. And it's these things in our life that we're just so focused on this stuff. Man, I don't want to make a joyful noise. I don't want to come into his courts with praise and thanksgiving in my heart. You know what? Let's kick our butt into gear. Can I say it that way? Sometimes we gotta do what David did. And we got to seriously have a pep talk with ourselves, because that's what happened. He had a spiritual pep talk that said, nuh-uh, you're not taken out. That's not going to happen, because the God of the universe is here to protect you and here to help you. And we got to talk to our emotions and not allow our emotions to take us somewhere. We take control of our emotions. So I just encourage us, man, we're going to do it again in just a second, because I really feel like, man, that's just going to set someone free tonight. When you're in a situation of a funk where just how am I going to get out of this? Man, just go in your room and just start making a joyful noise. You don't have to be weird and go off and do it on the street or whatever, right? We don't have to be so goofy like that. But you know what? I'm serious. If you're at that spot where, man, I just feel like junk right now, how am I going to get over this hill? Go just scream in a joyful way. Does that make sense? Let's just make a joyful noise to the Lord, because what we're doing is praise. And what does praise do? Praise takes our focus off of our stuff and it puts it on him. How many of you guys know that he already has your need met? So when we begin to focus on him and his goodness and his faithfulness and his stuff, our stuff just begins to wash away and not even matter anymore. So let's just rejoice for a second. God, we worship you tonight. You're so good, God. Struggling in different areas of their life, God, we just believe, God, that there's something being broken right now, God, that you're giving them the strength that they need, that you're encouraging them, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not our own self. It's not the stuff that we can do, but it's you, God. So we put our focus on you. We worship you. We praise you, God, and we believe that you can help us through all things. The strategy is not what can I do, but the strategy is that you are in my life, and you're good, and you're faithful, and you will take us from here to the land flowing with milk and honey, God. We thank you for all that you are in our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you, God, that we belong to you, that we are your children, that we are your sheep in your pasture, and you've got us in your hands, God, and you're so good, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I just do encourage you. If you're going through problems, go in your room and just make a joyful noise. Amen. Go in your room and just shout. You guys know when they came up against Jericho and that shout, I honestly believe that shout was, okay, there was a spiritual thing that took place there, and there's a spiritual thing that took place here tonight in your life, right? And what was that? That was you turning your focus where your focus needed to be. And there's a spiritual concept to it that again, that encouragement, when we do that, guess what? We're praising God, but does he need our praise? He doesn't need it. What does that do? That does something on the inside of us. That does what David was talking about, encourages us in the Lord. That when we go and we shout joyfully, even in the midst of the junk circumstances that you might be in, guess what? Man, something changes on the inside of us that gives us the drive and the push to be able to put our focus on him when we need to. Does that make sense to everyone? So he doesn't need our praise. He's perfect, right? We're the ones who need to be encouraged. So let's encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. I believe that truly you're going to go home and there might be stuff that, big mountains in your life. But you know what? God understands that mountain. He knows how big that mountain is. and he's going to help you through it. And let's put our focus on him, because guess what? We go back to that very first scripture that we were talking about. Worrying about tomorrow, what is that going to do? Not going to do anything, right? Worrying about tomorrow, worrying about your situation, how is that helping you? It's not. So what are we going to do? It's a decision that we have to make. Are we going to continue to do that? Are we going to continue to look at our problems, to worry about our situations? Or are we going to change our perspective? Are we going to change the way we look at it? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for it.